Hello, my fabulous friends, and welcome to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, Carnegie Mellon's oldest and most vibrant radio station. This is the radio show Loveline, also known as Sex Talk, and tonight we're going to talk about BDSM experiences, and this is a very personal topic for me tonight because I have come out of the closet as a BDSM participant. I have been flogged for the very first time tonight, and let me tell you, my emotions are on fire. With me in the studio tonight are...
As well as your back.
And as well as my back. I'm actually sitting very gingerly right now. With me in the studio tonight is Jake, Ralph, and Lori. Laura? Lori.
Lori.
And Ralph and Lori were both participants to various degrees in my BDSM experience, and we're going to talk about our feelings, what it meant, the beast that was brought up inside me, and how I'm a changed person because of it. I'd like to mention that, by the way, if you want to call at any time, we love our callers. Please call. The numbers, as always, are 268-WRCT, 621-WRCT. If your phone doesn't have letters, that's 621-9728. So, Ralph, just 2 hours ago, there I was. I was a simple man. No particularly unusual sexual practices, came over to your house, how did it all begin? I don't know if I should describe it or you should describe it.
We can take turns. This was for a movie by a friend of yours.
Right. Who shall remain nameless, some sort of perverted CFA kind of production for some kind of film class, or that was the excuse anyway.
Yeah, it's a kind of.
So this is on film.
This is on film.
Super 8.
Yeah.
And about 10 Polaroids.
Okay. hopefully those will be posted on.
Oh boy,
some website.
Indeed. Oh, by the way, the Loveline website is, as always, http://loveline.wrct.com. We can probably put these images up on there, make a little QuickTime or, AVI movie out of this. That would actually be pretty incredible. But anyway, don't let me interrupt. Well, so there we were. This person had this film project, and he had it in his idea, in his mind, that the subplot of this thing would be I would be some character, and the shot would be of me getting whipped. If I remember the plot properly, I am some kind of government figure, and I'm being extorted by somebody who wants information in exchange for the Polaroids that they have of me and my degrading secret lifestyle. And so, he wanted to show, not only show the Polaroids, but show flashbacks to that degrading lifestyle. And so the film's creator asked me if I knew anybody that could flog me, and apparently I do. I know all kinds of people who are lining up to flog me. So we went to Ralph's house, and I think I'll let Ralph take the story from here.
So I was looking forward to the idea of giving Corey his first flogging. I was definitely looking for it.
Now, why is that? Why do you think I deserve to be punished, or what was the basis for these thoughts?
I wasn't that into it for the punishment. I was trying for a friendly, semi-intense flogging, and I guess I wanted to be your first, because
you never forget your first.
And because we talked about it on Loveline in the past, and I thought that I was skilled enough to do a pretty good job, and perhaps be more gentle than you wanted, but certainly not harsher than that was right for you. And so part of it was that I wanted to be the first one to flog you, because I thought that I could do it well enough to make you, to lure you into this depraved lifestyle.
Interesting. Well, it has indeed left me very curious. I actually, as you suggested, I actually found that I could probably have tolerated and enjoyed a little bit more pain, But I found the experience very relaxing and actually very spiritual in some sense. After it was over, I was very pleased and just kind of, I was just kind of, I think I was, I don't know if I was beaming, but
you were beaming
was I beaming?
Yeah. He was smiling.
But afterwards, I was just sitting there just kind of letting the relaxing feelings of pleasure flow through me. And they still are. I still feel great.
Yeah, many people find it very relaxing, making them feel serene and invigorated.
Mm-hmm. But so, I'd like to actually go back to your to sort of the beginning and kind of your plan, because as you were flogging me, it probably took, I don't know, was it half an hour?
Half an hour or so, yeah.
And of me being flogged pretty much continuously, except for the electroshock treatment right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely seem to have a plan in some sense. You tried various implements and it got more intense.
Yeah, so my plan was to build up gently because that's what I like. And I know that for me, that if a flogging builds up gently, I can take a lot more than if it starts suddenly.
Right.
So I own four floggers. I started
this is, by the way, the same strategy that the computer science department uses to heap abuse on its students. But please, but go on.
But they're not as purple.
That's true.
So I started with a small purple suede flogger. And what was that like for you?
Well, that was so. I mean, here I was. So I'm on my. I'm sort of on my knees on the floor, hunched over this little stool, right? I don't know how you would describe that position.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the assume the position. And, you know, I'm wearing nothing but my underwear. And I guess the first thing was almost, I mean, it was just, I mean, anybody could have taken it. It was very light. It was kind of amusing. I think I was laughing the whole time there because it was also, there was an audience of four or five people watching and filming and doing various lighting adjustments. And so the fact that was actually a little bit distracting for me. I think I could have gotten into the scene mm-hmm. more readily if it had been a more intimate group.
Film crew definitely was a distraction at times.
Mm. Was it a distraction for you as well?
Slightly. When I would look over to my right, one of the lights would shine into my eyes. So I quickly learned not to do that too much. But I was fairly focused, but I could tell that it was somewhat harder for you to focus. And I think had there not been those distractions, I think you could have gotten into it more deeply, more quickly.
Right, I think that's right. In fact, I think I find myself sort of feeling self-conscious and actually a little impatient for the real pain to start. Cause I think flog number one and even flog number two were nice, but not terribly intense, I guess.
Yeah, well, this is your first time. Right. I didn't want to take you to a point of pain.
You're forgetting I'm a level 7 graduate student at this point, so...
So you must have already demonstrated
my
attention for pain.
That's right.
So after and even before the first flogger, I started warming up your back with my hands, just massaging your back a bit, using my nails a bit to bring the blood to the surface a bit, then start warming you up. Then did a little more with the purple suede flogger, which is still fairly gentle. Then I started using the purple rope flogger. This is the flogger that has been described from previous love lines as resembling a large graduation tassel. It's several strings that loops a string that connected into a handle. And this probably was the most thuddy of my floggers. I would guess that there was very little sting at all.
Yes, it's all kind of a blur a little bit, but that was the one that actually, when you said thuddy, was that the thuddy one where I really felt like I was getting these kind of deep hits, more like I was
yes.
being in some sense punched rather than not punched, but you know, there was that kind of more less more dull kind of impact than the other ones. And so yeah, I like that too, though. That was kind of soothing.
Yes.
I mean, that also had that kind of full body massage aspect to it. I mean, I really felt like I was getting some kind of, mm-hmm. you know, the Swedish massage thing.
Yeah, and then after that, I moved up to the larger flogger with soft leather tails, and this one, because it was a bit longer and a bit heavier, let me strike a bit harder, and built up to, I would guess at least, enough that you could start to really feel it, but not really that, not so hard that was challenging you in any significant way.
Right. So at some point we had a little intermission between the flogging where you brought out the tool, the magic.
Yes. After the third flogger,
After the third flogger?
It was after the third flogger, yes. They wanted to give you something of a break from it, though I didn't think you really needed it, but still keep your back warm and sensitive. So I brought out the violet wand.
The violet wand.
Yes. With the contact pad against my skin, I was able to draw my fingertips across your back, leaving tingles of sparks.
So how does this work, you know, electrodynamically? You're plugged into the wall? Some of the actual...
No, it's not actual house current. It's generating basically static electricity.
So this is some kind of device.
It's like... scuffing your feet across a carpet.
Times a thousand.
Yes, and less of a hassle than repeated carpet scuffing.
Right, so this is some kind of little miniature Van de Graaff generator or something that you plug into the wall, and then you can plug attachments into it, basically. And the attachment you chose to plug into it was this metal cable, essentially, that you attached to your buttock. And so you became a human spark generator, as far as I can tell.
Basically, yes, he is.
And whenever you would scratch or touch or put your hands anywhere near me, these giant sparks would leap from you to me, basically.
Not that large, but...
Oh, sparks, well, but
sounds like a fiendish James Bond enemy kind of...
Well, so, and indeed, that was tolerable for a while until you turned it up, and then it got pretty good. So Lori, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You were there, so during this whole episode, I would say that the first time things got serious was when I was being sparked at the higher level. I mean, I was really reacting to that, and I was wondering if you were...
Particularly when you were being sparked through your briefs.
I was getting butt sparked. I think that's the technical term, right? I don't know if that was you were. I mean, I hate to even admit to this kind of same-sex contact, but your fingers were like gently caressing my buttock cheek. Is that technically what was happening?
Yes. Because of the fun properties of the violet wand, the separation imposed by the cloth makes the sparks more intense and more painful.
And they were. I was actually squirming, I think, at that point.
You were definitely squirming.
Because that was pretty incredible. I liked it, though. I mean, I have to say. But are you able to use that? I think I need to get one of these spark generators. Are you able to use them in more literally or more overtly sexual situations? Like, I'd like, you know, someone to, like, spark my little scrotum, right? Or would that be really painful? Or, you know...
Might render you sterile for a while.
Ow.
That's
different people have different tolerances. Lori is squirming at the thought. I could imagine it feeling really good. I could imagine it feeling painful. A difficulty with using it in the intercourse situations is that the strength of the sparks, the more skin contact you're making, the less strong the sparks are, and the more distance between skin and skin, the stronger the sparks are. So, in intercourse, you're typically making a fairly large amount of skin-to-skin contact, so it's not that intense.
Right, so you have to be very careful. See, indeed, you want exactly one tiny little channel that the electrons have to flow through in order to make it interesting, right?
Yes, so like the touching someone's nipples with a fingertip.
And we did that once. That was great.
Yes, when we were playing with the violet wand afterwards.
See, that's what I was thinking. I think I would enjoy the same kind of sparky contact to like my penis, for example, or would this be too sensitive? Or like my sphincter, and that would be great, or horrible. I don't know.
For some people, it would be good.
I think I have to find out.
It would be bad.
It could render you unconscious, for instance.
It's very unlikely to render you unconscious.
To testicles?
if it doesn't grow.
Okay, well,
I mean, just as a little WRCT safety note, this is a device that you purchased from a store or something. We're not at all advocating people use real electricity in their sex play. That could be very dangerous. But this is under very controlled conditions, and this is a tested product, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so don't try this at home unless you're...
Know what you're doing. This is very high voltage but low current, so it's very safe compared to the higher amperage things.
Right. But anyway, if I can find myself a little sparky electric daddy, I might have to incorporate this into my future sex play. Because this is, it's interesting.
Oddly, I actually know what that feels like, because I've been hit by lightning before, which is...
Oh?
Are you serious?
Oh, really?
I am, yeah. In the shower.
Hit? You've been hit by lightning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's... Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Though it was all my left arm, because actually what happened was I was taking a shower in the morning before going to work, and I had failed to note that there was thunderstorm activity in the area. And as I was finishing the shower, I reached back to turn the shower off. And when I touched the metal control, I had the sensation that there were 10,000 wasps stinging my left arm.
Wow.
Ow.
And there were not, in fact, any wasps in my bathroom. So I ruled that out and decided that I had, in fact, been hit by lightning. And that kind of...
That's incredible. So normally, do you check the? I mean, I don't check the weather report before I take a shower. Is that part of your culture?
It's funny. Like three or four people after that happened, I told the story to them, and they're like, "Oh, didn't your mother ever tell you not to take a shower in a thunderstorm?" And I'm like, "No."
Neither was I.
And your mother would tell you.
Yes, my mother worries about everything. Well, so.
Well, I mean, I know my grandmother used to tell me things like that, but she has this kind of rule of maximum conservatism, and so, you know, don't do anything at any time, basically. And so this would be sort of a subset of her rule, but it just didn't seem believable. Wow. So, but you didn't see a spark, you didn't have any actual skin burns or anything like that, right?
Just dead sensation in my left arm for the rest of the day, but
cool.
But I did get that surface, you know, high voltage, low current.
Yeah. So what Corey felt tonight is probably much less intense than safety maven. I've got to say a word of caution against playing with lightning.
Yes. I'm certain the fact that it was a plumbing system kind of saved my life, because there's a much easier ground than me.
Yes.
So you think that coincidentally you reached to touch this thing just as lightning struck your house or some nearby? Fabulous.
The next year, my TV and VCR were blown up by lightning in the same apartment. But anyway, we digress.
Just because I always forget to do this, if you have lightning stories or other things you need to share with us, 621-WRCT is one phone number, 268-WRCT is the other. Please call.
And though I'm not, don't advocate using lightning during sex, if you have any stories, I'd love to hear them.
I can imagine like only being able to achieve an erection during a thunderstorm, right, due to some sort of enhanced ionic activity or whatever. So, back to my deflowering, if you will.
So, we were using the violet wand on you at fairly high intensity, and certainly making you squirm when we used it through your briefs.
Fabulous. It was fabulous. That was really the best part, I think.
It's a lot of fun, at least for people who like it. And then I moved on to my heaviest whip, the more finished leather, so more stingy, and then just heavier and longer.
More
so
stingy? Stingy.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. And so again, I was still trying to build up slowly because I wanted to be very cautious not to pass your limits, not to exceed what was comfortable.
Right, yeah. I think that was, if there was any kind of error intent, it was the error of, we erred on the side of caution. I mean, I was ready. I'm pretty bitter, and so I was ready to take a lot more. No, I was not even close to my limit in any respect. I was not panicking in any.
So you're saying bitterness equates to pain tolerance?
Oh,
wow, I should go in for this.
Well, sure.
I don't know that it does, because I have absolutely none, and I can get bitter once a year.
Well, once a year. Right? Well.
I'm teasing.
So, but anyway, so, you know, indeed, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're a good master, but
again, I wasn't trying for the dominant submission vibes between you and me.
I see. What were you trying for? So you were just, I mean, I imagine that the scenario was a lot different since there was an entire movie crew there. But were you doing this just for the theater of it, or just to give me a flavor of what it's like?
Well, so yeah, and kind of much the same sense of giving you a massage, except more intense and more leather involved. If there hadn't been the film crew there, I might have tried to take you into a deeper headspace. For me, I really like a flogging that builds up gently until I become nonverbal and I'm just really in another space.
That's really intriguing. Last time you talked about this on the air, you referred to bringing out the beast within you.
That's another effect that is, in a sense, part of this is because I learned about these things from people who were into the use of BDSM as part of sex magic. And so I was taught about the channeling that energy that rises up. And one of the most natural ways for me to use that energy is to let the beast rise up, to feel myself unleashed.
Now, just to go on a tangent for a second, I mean, whenever I have sex, people call it magic, but that's not the way you're using the term. Sex magic means something specific, I assume.
Yeah, it's more or less the obvious. Trying to the use sex and
tantric rites or something. Mm-hmm.
Does this give you powers? Can you, like, teleport or, you know, see into the future? Or is it a more limited kind of magic?
More limited in what I've experienced so far.
You still think it's possible, perhaps, for the teleportation thing to happen?
Well, probably not the teleportation thing. From a magical perspective, like, the people who really believe in magic and really see that as part of how they understand their lives, that from that perspective, sex and arousal generate the heck of a lot of energy, and that energy can be used for magical purposes. So, for example, some people use sex and BDSM or flogging and so forth to have out-of-body experiences.
Interesting. So I'm sorry, I didn't have to do it. And other people use it for...
Well,
Do you believe in this kind of thing? I mean, you have a scientific background. You're a computer scientist as well. So you presumably come from a sort of rational background. Do you think that something paranormal is actually happening here?
I make no claims about whether it's really paranormal. I do feel that it can be a useful way to view the world, and a useful way to describe some of the things that happen.
So, for example,
when I let the beast come out in me, in the most extreme cases, I can look down at my hands and see black paws. And
you mentioned that last time, and I didn't believe you last time you said that either. I thought that was some kind of metaphor.
It is not a metaphor. I've looked at down and really seen that. So.
And you were,
I'm not going to necessarily argue that that's paranormal, but at least magic with quotes around it.
And you weren't under any other kind of life-altering, mental state-altering stimulus, like no drugs or anything except for the...
No drugs except those my own body was producing, yeah.
Wow. That is truly incredible. I mean, someday I'd like to be brought to that state. So I was going to say, it's true, you can't... Who's to say that the model of reality in which you see your hand as a paw is any more valid than the objectivist's model of modern physics? But by the way, if there are any members of the CMU Ayn Rand Club, please do call 621-WRCT 268-WRCT and let us know your views.
I'd like to hear the Randian perspective on submission.
That'd be interesting.
I think that there is no submission for objectivism. It's all sorry. Anyway, sorry, that was a little technical problem. Anyway, back to the. Do we have a phone call? Are you all signaling me that the phone call?
We'll let you know.
You're all just twitching. It's making me very nervous. I thought that the objectivists were calling. That would actually be really frightening. So. So, Laura, you were there. Now,
yes.
How did this all unfold? Put yourself in this context. Were you there as observer or as filmmaker, or what do you think your role?
Well, I certainly wasn't a filmmaker. This was the first time I've seen a flogging.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. So another first time experience. Wow.
I guess the night was just full of them, huh?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I see someone signaling, so I can hold that thought.
I hate to do this, but our callers come first. Welcome, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask you a question, Corey. I was interested in the whole description of what you were talking about, and I wanted to know, you were describing how you were thinking of using this in your grand sexual future, and I was interested whether or not while the experience was happening,
yes.
Were you... sexually aroused at that point, or were you just thinking, you know, I could use this later, or did it cross your mind at all, and did you think of it later? After it was all over, did it come to you then, or when it was happening?
So that's a very interesting question, and it did occur to me. I sort of wondered, you know, actually I was a little bit embarrassed about the fact, like, what if I actually got really excited during this flogging? What if I got some big, you know, powerful turgid erection that, you know, you know, would that make everyone uncomfortable, you know, especially seeing, you know, the size of my member in relationship to their own and so on. But I don't want to denigrate the experience, because the experience was powerful and great, but I think in order to get me going, it would have had to have been more intense. I think he really would have had to whip me harder. And near the end, like during the squirmy electric shock episode, that was really great. I was starting to feel it then. And then during some of the harder flogging near the end, I was starting to really enjoy it. And so had that been going on a lot more, and had it gotten a lot more intense, I think I would have entered, you know, my alternate mental space would have also been sort of an alternate sexual space too, and I think it would have been a little bit more arousing.
I think you're likely right. And another way that energy can be channeled is towards sexual arousal. I was trying to leave the choice open to you of whether you wanted to do that. I guess I didn't really push you towards that choice. And admittedly, if things had gone that way, I would have kept flogging you, but I wouldn't have taken any overt notice of your arousal.
It's hard to not notice, especially because of the gravitational field emanated by my erection. It's pretty intense. But, right. So indeed, it, because I was being watched by so many people, there was the kind of metachory who sort of prevented me from getting totally into it. And like I said, had it gotten more intense though, or lasted a little longer, I think it would have definitely gone that way. Also, there was one little at the end, in the post-flogging zone, when we were sort of playing with the electricity, I found that to be actually very erotic. So what was happening is that we were basically, one or more of us were plugged into this device, and then we were touching other people. And every time you touch somebody, these sparks jump from your fingers. And so if you touch somebody's back or their nipple or their arm, you get this feeling. I found that very enjoyable. I engaged in this illicit same-sex kiss with another member of the film crew, and I have to say that was very, very powerful for me as well. So
it was certainly fun to watch the sparks.
literally watch the sparks fly. Yes, I mean, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that two men could have that much fun? So where were we? I forgot what the caller's question was already.
Oh, I was just interested to find out what was going through your mind at the time. There's sort of this stereotypical thing that being flogged would be a definite sexual experience, and yeah. You described it, as a massage, and finding out at what point you sort of felt yourself crossing over that line,
right.
Whether or not it happened at the time or not.
Right. Yeah, as I said, I was almost there, but not quite close enough yet. And also, it was kind of, again, I don't know, it's still kind of embarrassing to be in the garden. I mean, you should bring these things to a party or something where people are kind of more relaxed and have been drinking a little bit and acting irresponsibly.
I don't feel comfortable mixing the
alcohol and blogging
and alcohol or drugs.
I can't see why. No, I mean, I can see why. In fact, you being the top certainly have all the responsibility in that case to keep things sane.
Well, this is both as the top and the one who had more experience.
Right.
So,
caller, any more comments?
Nope. Thank you very much, Fran.
Oh, caller, actually, by the way, before you go, uh-huh. Do you think you would ever try a BDSM encounter of...
I'm very intrigued, so I will have to continue listening and hopefully be convinced.
Interesting. Well, you know, that's our charter here at Sex Talk. If we can bring one, just one listener over to the dark side, then it will all have been worth it.
Thank you for calling.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So fabulous caller. If we have, are there any other callers, please do call in 268-WRCT, 621-WRCT. So, Lori, we were in the middle of you describing how this was the first time you'd ever seen anything like this.
Yeah, and I was still gathering my thoughts, and unfortunately during that call I didn't manage to gather them any more clearly, so, excuse me, I'm trying to think of how to explain this, because there were a lot of different things going on for me. I'd never seen a flogging before. Also, this is my boyfriend of over a year I'm watching flog another man, which I was basically okay with, but, well, to say the least, this is certainly an experience that has just not come up in my other relationships.
Well, that's because you haven't had a boyfriend of over a year before.
Well, also, you know, my last boyfriend's sexual experiences with persons other than me were sort of not told to me until much later, but that's a whole other story.
Wow, that sounds like a good one, though.
We don't want to go there. But I think, really, something, I guess, like what I got the most from watching this is that much earlier than you, like when you were still, one of the film crew was taking pictures to be used as props in the film, Polaroids.
Right.
And
props, blackmail.
Yeah, and she was smiling, and I meant you were smiling in right. The picture. And from the noises of the flogger hitting you, I was already kind of sitting there flinching. And I think it all goes back to what we were talking about before. Different people have different pain tolerances, sensitivities. So it was interesting to me to watch someone say, yeah, go ahead harder, because I'm very sensitive and that's a really foreign concept to me.
That is very interesting. Actually, we've got another caller, it appears, so I'll respond to that when after this. But hello, is the caller there?
Yes, hello.
Hello. And so, where are you calling from, and what do you have to tell us?
Well, I am calling from CSA, and I was very much interested in your program, and I just wanted to ask the flogger and his girlfriend if this experience might entice their appetite for other partners in their relationship.
Intriguing.
We haven't talked about it yet.
Just if I may interrupt, the thing that I understand about your relationship, which I find so intriguing, is that you're sort of non-traditional in many ways, and yet underlying it all, there is this kind of hyper-monogamous bond, which is unusual. So you're not quite the big kind of sexual swingers that one might expect otherwise, if that's fair to say.
Yeah.
But indeed, so if the caller is asking if some, you know, some lonely CFA, you know, art student wanted to be humiliated by you, do you think you would do that, or do you have to be friends?
Perhaps first? Not humiliation, but pleasuring, you know.
Well, we really haven't talked about this. So, but I think that I at least was hope. I asked Lori to watch in the hopes that she might feel more comfortable about me doing this sort of thing.
Have you flogged her before?
No, and it's probably not going to happen because of how sensitive she is.
So did you want her to become more comfortable with you flogging people, or with you flogging her, or with just to open her eyes a little bit about alternative ways of?
My hope was that she would be more comfortable with the idea of me flogging other people in such a way that eventually, maybe if it works out, we could find that.
How does she feel about this flogging? Would she eventually like to be flogged?
I kind of doubt it, but it has nothing to do with Ralph or his ability to flog gently or well, more with, like we just said, I'm very highly sensitive, and things that, like when at the end of our little filmmaking session, when we were all touched, well, not all because I wasn't especially, but when we were just playing with the electricity, the couple times I actually kind of let someone touch me with the sparks, I would jump before, when most people were still going, oh, cool, it tingles. And, like, from my own personal levels, it was already at, ow.
So you're the kind of person that can't lick a 9-volt battery without really a lot of pain, basically.
I'm the kind of person that needs 2 shots of Novocaine at the dentist's office to maybe not feel most of it.
So I have another question for the flogger. Do you think that her sensitiveness might impede your ability to become close with her as your relationship develops?
I don't think so. I find her sensitivity enormously fun, frankly.
Only because you're hoping to make her more callous, I guess.
No, not at all. It's something to be exploited and delighted in.
The fact that she squirms and reacts at a very light touch. I mean, I can see how that could be sort of...
Yeah. So there are certain activities that are inappropriate for me to do to her. It's not good for me to flog her. It's not good for me to bite her. But
bite.
But that's fine. There are many other fun things we can do.
So
like what? Would you guys mind if I asked you what kind of activities you partake in? What kind of recreational activities you partake in your relationship?
By recreation, do you mean like Scrabble and boating, or do you mean,
or are you friends? Okay, no, sexual activities.
Well, are you two willing to talk about your personal life, or should we suppress that? I mean, it's up to you.
Why don't you do the talking?
Okay. Well, he does the talking.
I'll
I'm sure
on.
All the...
Okay, so we've been exploring dominance and submission further. We've been exploring bondage. We've been exploring the use of hypnosis during sex, which can be another form of sex magic.
Hypnosis.
Hypnosis?
Yes. Yeah.
Along with Lori's sensitivity, she's also very suggestible. This, too, is a lot of fun.
Okay, now, that seems like something we should look into a little bit. Suggestible. And, you know, my experience with hypnosis was just my various past life encounters and so on. Very standard stuff. I mean, what do you do in a sexual setting when you hypnotize somebody? I don't even understand. Do you just...
It's part of what he was talking about... Uh-oh. Earlier with helping someone get into a different headspace. Is that
interesting?
So it's, I'm sorry, I find it really hard to verbalize about this sometimes because it touches me on a much different level than I guess, for want of a better word, normal kissing would, for example. But a lot of it's just helping me get into a very relaxed state where I'm very receptive to feeling different sensations.
Interesting. Well, some sort of technical problem has purged the caller. But if you'd like to call back, please feel free to 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT.
And we've also used our practice with hypnosis to explore things like ropeless bondage, where...
Ropeless bondage?
Yeah.
Where... There were no physical bonds tying her down, just the power of my suggestion.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And did that work? Feel that you're unable to move, or do you somehow...
I pretty much felt like I was unable to move. It's hard to explain again, but it was almost like in my mind's eye, I could see bonds of energy where a physical bond, like, you know... a rope or whatever might have been otherwise with my wrists and my ankles. And It was a really stunning experience, actually. I mean, we both really enjoyed it, to say the least.
Wow.
I'm grinning madly.
I think we should, I mean, we should, whatever we've been, I think we should all have sex with Ralph. If
you know, I don't think so. Sorry.
It has numerous techniques that you can share.
Something else that he said, too, is that in some ways it's just easier to get me into that state than other people because I, you know, like I once said to him, well, you just don't need the violet wand to make sparks shoot all over my body. What could I say?
that's a fabulous sentiment. Well, I mean, indeed, maybe part of what makes you so sensitive is also what makes you so suggestible. There might be.
I'm sure they're related.
That's interesting. So going back for a moment to this other topic on, since the caller seems to be gone, we can safely go back to the, you know, your experience of seeing somebody being flogged for the first time. Mm-hmm. Where were we? So what was it like being an audience member in this, like, absurd movie set thing? Was it interesting?
It was interesting, sure. I was telling Ralph that in a way it felt kind of not real because, like you were saying, there's the film crew there, there's the lights. It wasn't, I guess, the most erotic setting I've ever been in my life. On the other hand, this was the first time. I've had a busy day at work in a lot of other ways, and I don't think I've really all the way processed everything I saw yet or how willing I would be the next time. We've talked about before, and I've said, well, there's things I'm comfortable with him playing with other people, things I'm not, and things that I'm still sort of in the, well, as it comes up, let's talk about it, and we'll reach it, just, you know, we'll just sort of cross that bridge when we come to it.
Mm-hmm. So did this fall in any of those categories? Did this feel like, did this make you more comfortable about, or less comfortable?
Well, it was funny because when it came up, when he was reading the email asking just, can I say that, for the for just like the loan of toys, and when I was over. And I kind of looked over his shoulder, and he was looking at it, and I could see the wheels turning in his head, and he was smiling. So I just said to him, well, if you want to volunteer to be the flogger, that's okay with me. Because it's...
I really appreciated that.
And, well, like we said the time that we were on, is that part of a relationship is respecting who the other person is, and giving them the freedom to do things they enjoy in a way that's still happy for your world and who you are. So with this sort of thing, I'd say our relationship is an endless compromise, but every relationship is, or it should be if you're doing it right.
Well, unless you're one of our dom sub friends that have been on the show in the past where one person is always in charge and the other person just does what he says. And there's no compromise.
I think
there.
The compromises need to be somewhat different and differently expressed, but I think they still need to be there.
I see.
Yeah. And really all I'm trying to say with that is that ever since Ralph and I first decided to be exclusive, to be more than casually going out, for want of a better word, I've always felt very strongly that this is part of him, this is part of the person I'm accepting, and acceptance is not just about the things that you like, it's about everything. And there's parts of his dominance, I guess, for want of a better word, that I really enjoy.
So
he's smiling, I must not have screwed up.
So I guess I feel like I haven't totally processed this either. I mean, I think that, you know, that in some more subtle sense, it was sort of erotic for me. And, you know, I will incorporate this into my masturbatory fantasies later. You know, next time I do get a chance to masturbate, with my busy schedule, that actually it's difficult to find time anymore. But did you find it at all, Lori or Ralph, erotic in that way, finally having me where you wanted me, for example? Was it because of these other factors, was it all still too clinical? Or was it disappointing? Was I not panting enough?
For me, there is a certain charge of the swinging whip, and it's kind of partly the slightly the sense of power, but partly just having fun with physical exercise, that, and partly the pleasure of being skilled at what I'm doing and doing something well. So I enjoyed it. I think that if we had been in a setting that would let you go more deeply into it, I would have enjoyed it even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So indeed, as I said before, I think I would have enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed it more too. What's next? How do I bring myself to the next level? I mean, I hate to be selfish. I know it's not all about me, of course.
That's
but
a good question. And I don't know the answer. It depends on where you want to go. Different people do the very different things. So you might like to get together with other people in the BDSM community and either go to play parties, for example, and see what they do and think about what you would like, or invite them to do things to you and explore what you like that way.
A related question. What's the learning curve like for flogging? I mean, I've heard a number of people describe experience as being very important in especially being a flogger. Is it very difficult to become that experienced, or?
It is not too difficult, in my opinion. So the way I learned when I decided I wanted to be able to give floggers the floggings as well as receive them was I had a couple of friends who invited me to flog them a few times, and I decided to buy a relatively cheap flogger of my own and practice with it until I had reasonable accuracy and control, and made some interesting marks on the wall of my dorm room with practicing the flogging there.
Your dorm room? This is back in your college days? You
this
were already bondage master? What college is this? I want to find this dorm room.
This was Stanford University.
Interesting.
Ralph Melton.
Do you think it's important to be both a top and a bottom to develop that?
My understanding and my style is certainly influenced by my experience as a bottom. I get the sort of floggings that I would like to receive. And for me at that time, I was much more confident in other people's ability than I was in my own. So at that time, it made sense for me to be receiving floggings.
So does Lori flog you?
No.
And do you have any intention of?
I think it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
I think it would hurt more than it hurt me.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. Generally, too, I'm a fairly gentle person, and I know other people who are fairly gentle. Ralph is actually a fairly gentle person in my experience of him, but I don't think I really have that in me.
Well, maybe under some sort of hypnotic suggestion, you could bring out the flogging beast within you, right?
Perhaps I don't think it's a place that we are particularly interested in going.
I'd agree with that.
Maybe I'm just a selfish lover, but I think a diehard bottom. I mean, is that wrong?
It's not at all wrong. Whatever makes you and your partners happy.
You don't have to be. I mean, are there people who enjoy being exclusively tops?
Yes, there certainly are.
I'd just like to interrupt you and say this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please continue. It's midnight.
There are certainly people who enjoy topping exclusively. There are people who enjoy bottoming exclusively. There are people who switch between. And actually, many people are somewhat more complex. For me, I like bottoming in a certain way. I don't care for being tied up. I don't seem to be able to submit in any significant way, in a dominant submissive way. But I also like topping. I'm very good at dominance, and I've become pretty good at bondage. Find out what you and your partners enjoy, and there is no need to feel guilty for just liking bondage, or just liking bottoming, or just liking topping.
That's interesting. So I think we have about 60 seconds left. So quickly, let's imagine that a person's not in a stable relationship of any kind, but still wants this kind of activity. Are there videos you can buy? Erotic videos, or are there clubs that you can go to, or does Pittsburgh have? How can I, as a hypothetical single person, get the kind of bondage activity I crave? 30 seconds.
Good question. Finding responsible the people in the community is the best way to go.
I see. Well, I guess that. I can ask you about that later. Maybe next on the show we can talk more deeply, and we haven't passed more deeply about bondage resources available in Pittsburgh. I think I'm going to wrap it up and say this has been a great show. Ralph, Laurie, and Jake, so glad to have you on. I'm going to go home and take a warm, soothing bath and try to soothe my stinging, aching back. And this has been Sex Talk, WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening, and good night.